Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco. And that brief silence means I'm here by myself today on June 2nd, 2018, about 10:04 in the morning. And we always say 10:04 in the morning because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, at midnight, unless there's a sporting event. Then it will be on after the sporting event. Show is also available live streaming at our website, sapriston.com. That's SAPERSTON.com. Every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. and can be accessed by most devices that can connect to the internet. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. So if you want to catch a show that you missed or you want to do a replay, the show should be there. And also, last but not least, every Saturday morning and sometimes late Friday night, there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy. And, you know, it's a very concise, understandable little report about what went on during the week. Would cover the employment news from this week. And so we do encourage you, to get the free economic report and go to our website. Also at the website, all of our services are listed there. You can find out about our company, what services we provide, and any contact information if you're interested in any of those services. Right now, all the phone lines are wide open. Give us a call at 803-1520 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Very easy to get in early in the morning. And, later in the show, a lot of people tend to call late in the show, and sometimes we don't get to everybody. We leave a caller on the line. So we do encourage you to give us a call early if you want to give us a call. Once again, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. We also have an alternate way for you to reach us, which would be to go to our website, sapriston.com. That's SAPERSTON.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. A little drop down comes down and says live streaming. Click on live streaming. And at the bottom of the live streaming page, there's a chat box. You can type in a symbol or a question. If you put a symbol in, let us know whether you own the stock or looking to buy it, looking to sell it, so we can kind of cover it, since we're not able to talk to you. It's a lot easier usually, when somebody calls to go over something in more detail. So I do encourage you to give us a call or go to the chat box at Dollar Doctor tab, which is at sapriston.com. And, right now, as I say, very easy to get in and give us a call. Kind of an interesting week in the market again with a lot of news kind of buffeting the market back and forth. We had a big sell-off with the Italian political situation, and that got resolved later in the week. We also had a bit of a sell-off when Trump talked about tariffs again and imposing tariffs. And it's kind of interesting. You know, he kind of gives you opportunities, you know, especially for traders. You know, when he comes out with something that hits the market, it's an opportunity. If you have a nice watch list and you know what you're doing and you have a way of entering a position, gives you an opportunity to buy something, you know, and gives you an opportunity to maybe get something that you wanted to buy at a better price because of the temporary news, which tends to disappear and just change in a couple days. So the volatility is certainly good for traders and also good for those who are looking to buy something to position themselves, because you can get a better price when that news comes out. You know, last week, the Dow was down 0.5%, the S&P was up 0.5%, and the NASDAQ was very strong, up 1.6%, and the Russell 2000 was also up 1.3%. And, the Dow really is down a little for the year, down 0.34%, and the S&P is up 2.28% for the year. But what's more interesting is if you had invested in the NASDAQ, you would, or the Qs, you know, the triple Qs, you'd be doing much better. You know, right now, the NASDAQ is up 9.43% for the year. The NASDAQ 100, represented by the triple Qs, is up 10.75% for the year. And even in the Russell 2000, there's a number of different ETFs, one of them IWM, but the Russell 2000 is up 7.37% for the year. So there's some really good returns in different areas of the market. That's why I get a kick when somebody says, what do you think the market's going to do? Well, that depends. What are you talking about the market? Are you talking about the Dow? You're talking about the S&P? You're talking about the NASDAQ? You're talking about the Russell? You know, what specifically are you talking about? And people get caught up in the market is the Dow. You know, well, the market isn't necessarily the Dow. And sometimes you narrow your focus too much and you cut down on your, ability to make money by doing that. Right now, we're going to go to Bob in Buffalo. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Thought I'd give you a call.
Appreciate that, especially since my partner in crime isn't here today.
Which one?
Oh, which one? We won't say. No, David was going to be here, and if he's not here, he's usually able to remote in, and be on the show, but for some reason, he wasn't able to do that today. So.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't want you to be alone.
Yeah, I feel really lonely here, I'll tell you.
Well, I have my cat, so. And my poor kitty, he just turned 18 yesterday.
That's amazing. That is absolutely
amazing.
But
he is getting old, so am I, but,
What's that in cat years, about 150 or something?
Well, somewhere between, it's not a science, but I'm guessing somewhere between 80 and 100.
Is it really? Yeah. That's yeah. 18's old. But cats do tend to live longer,
Well, they live into the 14 to 16 range because mm-hmm. there's a lot of problems with renal disease.
Oh, okay.
And it varies depending on if they're inside, outside, or inside, or whatever. Hmm. But my cat's always been inside, so.
So that's why he's living longer.
Yeah. He doesn't want to leave me.
Right. He's smart.
Well, my favorite stock got blasted.
Don't mention it to me.
But you know what?
What?
It was good news.
Why was that good news?
Well, it wasn't good news that it got blasted, but...
No. Why was the news good? I read the news.
Oh, they found 10.2 grams...
That was on the top, but then when they went down lower, it was 1.5.
Oh, right. But even 1.5 isn't bad.
Yeah, I know, but, you come out, everybody's expecting 10.5 all the way, which is dumb, And then when I see 10.5, you're sure they didn't salt the gold mine then?
I don't know.
Drop some nice nuggets in the top? I don't know.
I know. Well... That's probably not true because there's another gold mine that just bought about 2,000 square kilometers,
mm-hmm.
and they scraped the top, and they had pictures of it, and they had tons of nuggets.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, it's going to take a while for them to get going, but mm-hmm. there's a bunch of juniors that have been buying land around Novo.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. Yeah.
And guess who owns 18% of it?
Well, could it be who? Kirkland or Sprott or who?
Sprott.
I mean, Kirkland bought how many shares of Novo, right?
I think they own 35%, if I'm not...
Yeah, I forgot what it was. But
it was real high.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, kind of interesting.
So, Well, eventually, when everybody barfs on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and the money starts flowing somewhere else, I expect some movement here.
Well, I have to make a confession, all right? I bought that dumb stock.
What, Novo?
Yeah, at 371, right?
Well, it went down a little bit, didn't it?
Well, I mean, no. This is a while ago.
Oh, right. Okay. Right.
And it was rising slowly. And I said, oh, this is nice, you know. Little by little, every day it's going up a little, right? And it gets to five. What was that, Thursday, I guess?
Yeah. I think it was that Thursday. That was the day I stayed in the house.
And I said, normally I would have taken a profit, you know. And I said, but it's rising so slowly, you know, it's not very volatile, it's acting very well. And then I come back later, I don't know if I went down, ate lunch, whatever, you know, and the thing's blasted, you know, from five down to what, three something?
280.
You know.
No, I think it hit 288.
Oh, good thing I didn't see that. I would have barfed my lunch, but anyway.
Well, I was just thinking, I know it would never happen, but if I would have sold at 5 and bought back at 288, I would have made it.
Oh, exactly, yeah. I mean, it's unlike me not to have sold at 5 or at least sold half of it, you know.
But I think it closed.
Yeah, it's about 370, 360,
yeah.
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I'm even after all
I'm gonna
of that.
I'm going to buy some more.
Yeah, well.
And I wait for it to go to 5, and then.
So I'm in it with your. And I can feel your pain.
Right? Well, I'm still profitable, so.
Yeah.
Driving everybody crazy, including myself.
No, that's for sure. Well, I mean, that's the second time. It was basically the same kind of news as came out last time that knocked it down.
Right.
You know, so wacky. Yeah. You know.
So you read the article before.
I read the article. I mean, I know 1.5 is even good. You know,
especially because it's not that deep.
No, but whatever.
I believe they did the study saying that it would cost them less than $100 to mine an ounce of gold. So somewhere along the line, it's all going to change. You know me. I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, hopefully so.
I'm going to buy some more just for the hell of it.
Glutton for punishment, anyway.
Well, like I said, I'm still profitable.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, but still, you know, like, you know, I had advised you before. I said, why didn't you? What, they got up to what, 7 the last time?
Yeah, just a tad over 7.
Yeah, just a little over 7. Yeah. It'd be nice if you sold it at 7, bought it back at 288, right?
Wow.
Who can do that? But anyway.
Well, that's hindsight. It's
I know.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, I can make a lot of money with hindsight.
Like I said, I'll sell at 5 and it'll go up to 10.
Right.
I wouldn't sell it all anyway. So I would have sold some if I knew it hit 5, but I stayed in the house all day. I didn't know what was going on.
Now, I knew it hit 5. I have no excuse.
Yeah. Really, you should have called me.
There you go.
Well, I still say gold's going to. I think it's right around 13, isn't it?
Yeah, somewhere around there. I mean, you look at a chart, it's like paint drying, you know. But
so my guess is that most people don't like gold, but there's just a few people in there that are still betting on it. And I think it's going to go down to about 1270 and then head back up and bounce its head off at 1340 or 1360.
Mm-hmm.
If it can break there, just like I said in December or January when I told you guys, it'll close around 14, maybe a little higher, maybe a little lower, but somewhere in there.
Yeah, well, we shall see, right?
It was the same thing with palladium. Palladium dipped way down, and now it's getting very close to $1,000 an ounce again.
Yeah, like you say, I mean, at least for, I've said before, you know, gold itself maybe does nothing, but there are certain gold stocks that can do very well.
Right.
Depending.
Yeah, like KL.
Yeah, depending on their own situation, you know. So.
Right. Well, I wish you well today.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it.
I'll be talking to you.
Take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye.
Okay, phone number's to call. Lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And if you do have a problem with that, 803-1520, try 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324. Any of those numbers should get you in. And right now I'm going to go to Rich in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Peter, how we doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah,
but I'm very happy
say.
To see the cool off in the weather, believe me.
Yeah, it's looks like it's going to be pleasant.
Thank
boy,
God.
Talking about cats, I was almost going to bring up our football Giants. But anyways, I'm kind of scared or leery of these tariffs, Peter. What do you think?
I don't know what to think about the whole thing, really. I could care less, really. You know, I could sit there and get worried about it. Pay attention to your individual stocks and see how they're acting.
Okay.
Because, you know,
that's,
you know,
that's
fair enough. I mean, that changes every day, you know, with the tariffs. I mean, you know, who knows?
Okay. So what do we think? I've been taking a pretty good hit down Walmart. What are we doing there? What do you think?
Well, let me just take a quick look at it there. Did it still close around 83, 84, somewhere around
83.04.
Yeah, I mean, somebody else had asked me about it a while back, and I had thought, you know, it looks to me as if it was bottoming, you know.
Yeah, right.
And they are somewhere, I said good support in the 82 area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, and I said worst case, not worst case, but next support would be between 75 and 79, you know.
If it
dropped down, you know, if it further dropped. But it looks like it's trying the basin here, you know. And so, I mean, do you own it or?
Yes, right.
Yeah,
I got a pretty good hit on it.
So. Oh, yeah, no question about that. It would have run up to over 100, didn't it?
Yeah.
Not much, I mean, but. Let me see. What was the high on that way back? Yeah, I mean, that's been coming down for some time there, huh?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the high was, let's see, looks like it was about, it got up that high, 107, 108. Yeah. So, you know, it's really taking a big hit, but, you know, it's really trying the base in this area. And
well, they got to keep reinventing themselves, I guess.
Yeah, no question. I mean, what really took the hit on it, they didn't like it, which was surprising in a way, the investment in India, you know, in the online business in India. And, you know, so once that came out, that's what really knocked the stock down. And I don't know.
Well, we got we hanging in there for the dividend anyway, so to speak. You wait to get paid to wait, I guess.
Yeah, that's about it. Like I say, that, you know, if you break that 82 area, so, you know, you could get down to 75 to 79. So it depends on whether you're willing to accept that at this point, you know.
What do we have for Bank of America?
The banks are tough, I'll tell you. You know, those interest rates are kind of wacky left and right, you know. You know, still hanging in there. You know, the key really is you have the 200-day moving average sitting at 28.29. So I think as long as you remain above that, I'd probably try to hold. You know, you go below
interest rates. Raising the rates, how's that affect? Is that a plus or a minus for the banks?
Well, normally it's a plus, but the problem once again is the spread. And you know, and plus, you know, they make their money other ways. Okay, but. The bottom line is, historically, you know, it was the spread between, you know, what they pay for their short-term rate, right, and what they charge for lending money out, right? And so that's considered the spread between, say, the two.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
exactly. And what's been
happening. So if you're raising the rates, they could go higher and have a bigger spread between what they pay in dividend or interest as opposed to what they charge for the loans and stuff.
Exactly.
Right?
But what's happening is that they're raising the short-term rate, and the long-term rate's very stubborn.
Oh, you're not getting that spread as much.
And you're not getting the spread. The spread's narrowing.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
So that's been part of the problem, you know.
But I'd say
if you can stay, you know, essentially never take an exact number, but, you know, the area around the 200-day moving average, which is 28.72, you know, below 28.
Well, I used to have that about 10 years ago before the crash.
Mm-hmm.
Bank of America was about $51.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't forget.
And it was paying 5% dividend.
Amazing. Yep.
Yeah, and then I don't know what it got down to, single digits?
Oh, it was single digits. Oh, yeah, no question.
Yeah. So it's come back. But
yeah, but I'd watch that. Watch the area around the 200-day, you know.
Now, I'm not holding nobody up, am I?
Well, not really. What's up?
Okay, Duke Energy, D-U-K.
Well, you know the problem with the utilities don't like rising interest rates, but what's the symbol on that now?
D-U-K. David Umbrella K.
Really? Huh. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, it did rally back. Here's the problem with it, right? The resistance was 77, and it hit that, and it took a hit on Friday off it, okay? So it's possible if it can't get above this 77 area with some strength, it could be on its way back down to test 72, 73.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, this 77 area is very critical right now.
Time for one more?
Yep.
OXY.
All right, that looks great. Hope you own that one.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at a regular chart. It's right up there, beautiful. Closed at what, 85.10?
Yeah.
And yeah. Then let me go over to the point and figure chart. Take a look at that real quick. Or maybe not quick. You know, attempted to do it quick. But anyway, and let's see. See, I think I have Duke on the brain. Believe it or not, I punched in Duke.
Yeah, you know, I think of those two. I get them mixed up at times. I don't know why.
I don't know why either, really. I don't know why I did that. But take a look at Oxy. Get to the right chart, and we'll go from
there.
Yeah,
it hit the 85, finished 85.08.
Boy, that looks really nice. I mean, of course, I mean, obviously, if the oil prices were to collapse or something, that's one thing. But if you want to take it for what it's worth, the price objective on a point and figure chart's 133, which is nice.
I'll take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, and you know, I might only get a little concerned if it dropped to say 80. You know, then
it,
that
it seems like years ago, Oxy for years and years hung around the low 30s. Isn't
Yeah, it did for a long time, no question.
Yeah, right.
But I don't know. I forgot who originally owned. Who was the guy with Oxy? Didn't he die? The guy
Arm & Hammer.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it was that long ago you're talking about or what, but
yeah, he was around quite a while. Yeah,
he was around quite a while, and I think it really started taking off sometime after that. You know, after he died. You know.
Yeah.
But
he was somewhat buddies with Lennon, I guess.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes. Arm & Hammer goes way back.
Way back, way back. Yes.
Hey, Peter, it's great talking to you always, and you have a good weekend.
Well, thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Brendan. Good morning.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Question for you. GE.
Do you own it?
Yes.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people own it because they got stuck with it, you know. But did you buy it? Or if you
I've actually been trying to buy it as it's coming down.
Oh.
And, you know, because of the pure value of the company.
Nobody knows what the value of the company is because they don't know what skeletons are in the closet, okay?
Right, apparently so.
You know, that's one thing, you know.
They keep popping out left and right.
Exactly, you know, so. But let me take a look at, you know, as you know, you know, they did a big $11 billion sale of a railway equipment company, you know.
Is that something tech?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was, but I know it was their railway division, you know. And so I mean, they're trying to sell things off. People don't know what's hidden in their finance sector, you know.
Yeah.
Which could be a problem. And as you know, they've had big problems with their power division, you know, which they've been getting over the years they got killed on contracts, you know. You know, cost.
It's just poor management, I think.
Yeah, no question. But, you know, it's trying to base, okay? If you're looking at it, I mean, the real support now is, you know, in the 13 area for it, you know.
Oh, God.
And what did it close at? 14.10?
Yeah.
So, you know, it looks like it's trying to get strong support in the 13 area. There's a little indicator they call on balance volume for what it's worth. And that's supposed to tell you whether money's coming in or going out. You know, take everything with a grain of salt, okay? But
yeah.
But the on-balance volume has been building and building, saying that theoretically it's being accumulated, you know?
Yeah.
So, so obviously, if you bought it, you take out the low for the year, you get out, you know? And or else if you're going to be a long-term player and you think there's good reason to be in it, you average down, which I hate to do, you know, but...
Yes, a lot of the things you're saying, I'm very amateur investor, and I'm new to a lot of this. Mm-hmm. But so were you saying support in the 13s, you mean what?
Well, support in the 13 means that buyers have been buying the stock in the 13 area, which means that support is theoretically, if that support, that if it came down to 13, those buyers might still be interested in it at that level, okay?
Yeah.
And right now it came down, you know, after it rallied up, I think they had theoretically better than expected earnings, you know, or not as bad as people thought, however you want to look at it, you know. Right. You know, the stock rallied up near the 15 area, you know, came back down, tested 14, so that becomes support, right? In other words, buyers came in, that's why it's support, right?
At 14.
Yeah, and then it rallied back up above 15 and looked like it was going to get going, but sellers came in again, so that's resistance. Right back down now to test that support, you know. So the initial support is now 14, and it'd be really positive if it could hold that 14 area, you know.
Right.
So I'm really saying there appears to be buyers between 13 and 14, you know.
Okay, because you're saying 13, and I haven't seen it go that low.
Oh, yeah, it did back in April.
It did?
Yeah, it hit 1280, wow. Hit 1280.
Okay, I've been watching quite... You know, man, I must have missed a few days or
a
week.
Yeah, yeah, it hit 1280, the 1280 area a couple times back in April.
Oh, my God. See, that would have been just wonderful to buy there.
There you go.
That would have been the best.
Yeah, it is, but, you know, what's the difference? You know, a buck 30 higher, you know?
Right, but I mean...
Yeah, I mean, that's great, you know, and maybe you would have caught the absolute bottom, who knows, you know, but I've seen people make big mistakes by worrying about, you know, 50 cents, a buck, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I'm in it for the long term.
Right,
the reason why, is just to keep volume.
Basically you're placing a bet that they can turn the company around, you know, and that nothing really horrendous is going to come out, you know.
Sure.
So
yeah, the only reason I'm holding on to that one is for long-term dividends.
Mm-hmm.
The only real
I mean they were worried that they were going to do away with the dividend or whatever, but I guess he said they're going to hold it for now, you know. So
yeah, I mean, if they got rid of it, that would just totally okay. So and I don't know how many of these questions I can ask you. That was kind of a long one, but I've got another one for you. I guess I'll just get right to the nastiest one I got. Hemp, H-E-M-P. This thing is just the bane of my existence, I swear. It's just horrible. It's always going down. I thought this whole pot thing was going to turn, you know, warm up the market, but I guess I bought the wrong type of...
Well, I don't know. It depends when you bought it. See, what happened with a lot of these marijuana stocks is they all ran up dramatically, all right?
Right, at points, right?
On the anticipation. You know, here's a stock that came up from pennies, okay?
Yeah.
And it ran up around, what, $3, right?
I guess.
And if you look at all the marijuana stocks, the charts look the same. They all had big run-ups, and now they had big sell-offs, all right? And so it's a matter of, you know, if you get in when everybody's excited, you get taken, right?
Yeah.
And so the time to be in is when nobody cares anymore. And I think all of these now, I mean, whether this is a good one or not, I don't know. You know,
yeah.
And this is on what, the Vancouver Exchange or something?
I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's...
They're all looking exactly the same now. They all had gigantic run-ups. They corrected dramatically, and they're going sideways, all right? And right now, I mean, you know, for $1.41 stock, which is, as you know, is a big speculation, right? You know, it's for us, we look at a 200-day moving average, it's holding it, you know, and it's gradually rising. So, you know, once again, this is like a lottery ticket. Could be worth nothing. Or on the next run-up in the marijuana stocks, you know, it could be a big gainer. For now, I would be a holder of it, you know.
Yeah, it's at pennies, so really, I mean,
yeah,
it's either worth nothing. In a
right.
And,
yeah, and you're playing the lottery with it, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, and last question I have is RIG, Transocean, R-I-G.
Mm-hmm. Do you own that, or?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering what's going on there.
Because well, what's going on is it has looked very good, okay? It ran up from, what was it, around, kind of hard to see this. Looks like the 9 area got up to 14. That's a big gain. You know, I mean, I don't know what you paid for it, but, you know, it ran from 9 to 14 in a couple of months. That's tremendous percentage gain, you know. And then, you know, it's coming down with the drop in oil prices, okay?
Right.
And it looks like it's pulling back once again to what I call a support area, okay? So if you're a long-termer, you hold it as long as it's above about 10.5, right? If you can stand that, you know. And if you think, you know, this company, which was great years ago, you know, and oil prices hold up there, as long as it's above 10.5, the long-termer would hold it. Anybody else would, if they didn't want to see it potentially, you know, where it might drop to 10.5, you wouldn't want to see it drop under about 11.5. But, you know, that's splitting.
To keep it for the long term.
Yeah,
so.
But if you're long term, I would hold it as long as it's above about 10.5 or so.
Okay. Thank you. That was very informative.
Okay.
That.
Well, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good weekend.
And you too. Thanks.
Okay. If Art will hang on the line for about a minute, I'm going to take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. RIA means we are registered investment advisors. We do manage money, and we're able to manage money, you know, that you do not house at our firm. It's if you have a 401k plan at your company or a 403b plan, we can handle that. And also, I do encourage you, go to our website, saperstein.com, lists all of our services. If you're interested in you know, contacting us, all of our contact numbers are there. Right now, give us a phone call. Lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. We're going to go to Art in New Jersey. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you.
I did send a note as a guest, but the first item on my list, Bank America, that was covered already.
Oh, okay.
The other two stocks are Campbell Soup, which I know, you know, had a problem, and it's closed about 34. I want to know technically point and figure or whatever what the prognosis is for that.
Okay. Well, you had the symbol on that, right?
CPB.
CPB, yeah. Take a quick look at that. CPB.
You know, last week it dropped 485. It brought it down about 34, so.
Well, what can you say? Should
like
have sold it at 67.
What was it again?
If you held it all these years, you should have been out at 67.
Okay, I don't own it yet.
Oh, you don't own it. Okay, thank God.
Yeah, no. I like Progresso myself, Supes, but... Okay,
well, I mean, really, unless they come up with something spectacular, right?
Right.
The newest, greatest Super Soup, you know?
Yeah, well, one of the problems, I think, with them is when you go down the soup aisle and you look, one can of, like, say, chicken noodles, $1.79 a can, those, when I was a kid, were 2 for $27. You know, so when you see $1.79 for one can of soup, you get a little pat.
Well, it's that, too, and it's also, you know, the non-branded stuff, you know.
Right, right.
Takes a big thing. You know, this is basically considered a defensive stock, you know.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, and this is part of the Consumer Staples Group, which this year is the worst performing group, you know.
I see.
Which means at some point there'll be a buy, there'll be a value, right?
Sure.
You know, where could it drop to if it gets much worse? Probably the mid-20s, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, will it get there? Who knows? You know, but I mean, I don't see any reason to buy it right now.
No. Yeah. Second item, PG&E, Pacific Gas and Electric.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know all about their wildfires and their liability problems they have. It's closed around 42. And I'm wondering, you know, since it was, I looked at what the 52-week was up around the 60s. Going back a mm-hmm. while. So I was wondering what the prognosis is for that for recovery on
and
that.
And what's the symbol on it?
It's Pacific Gas and Electric.
It's not PGE, but yeah.
Yeah, I see.
Let me see. What the heck is this?
They cut the dividend out completely.
Yeah.
I was getting a very sizable dividend on that.
Why can't I can't remember what the symbol is on that thing.
Maybe PEG? No, that must be public service.
Yeah, let's see.
Pacific Gas and Electric.
Pacific.
PCG, I think.
PCG? All right, I'll try that. Yeah.
I think that's it. I should have those symbols before I...
Well, go. A lot of symbols I know, but
yeah.
You know, that's one I just don't follow, you know, at all. So let's see if this one comes up. PCG. You got it.
Right.
Well, what can you say?
Well, that's what I want to ask.
Well, I mean, if things continue, unless something fundamentally changes, like they say,
right.
We absolve you of all culpability.
All liabilities, right, for those fires.
Or whatever. You know, right now it looks like it may want to go back down and test the low, you know.
Where is that?
Which would be 30? In the 37, 38 area.
Okay.
So hopefully, I mean that was a low back in 2012.
Right.
So you're back there again. So maybe, you know.
Sure.
Maybe that's an area where it may finally hold, you know, but.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Last item, this is my favorite, that immunology stock.
Yep.
It closed at 22.71.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's been like 19, 19 and a half, 21, 22.78 last Friday,
mm-hmm.
and now 22.71. What is the point and figure?
Well, the objective and point and figure is 25, right?
Okay.
And I have a guy who does very good work. He's been doing technical analysis for 50 years, you know.
I think I went on his site. You told me about
Harry
it.
Harry Boxer.
On it lately. Yeah.
Harry Boxer, right? And I subscribe to that. He's got a cheaper service. You know, you don't have to buy the full $99 one.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a $49 one, and he follows stocks all week. But on the weekend, he covers like 100 stocks he likes, okay?
Right.
And he goes in detail. This is one of them, okay?
Does he have a good record on stocks, pretty much?
In general, but you have to take the stop outs, okay?
Yeah.
You know, nothing's perfect, all right?
No.
So he gets stopped out, and he says, shame on you. If you're still in it, right?
Right.
You know where you should have been out of it, right?
Is he making the purchases and the sales himself? Or
I don't know which ones he buys, okay?
Yeah.
You know, but the interesting thing is, I mean, among the many, I mean, he's had some big, gigantic winners, all right?
Right.
And you're not going to lose a lot because he tells you what the stop is on it, you know. The problem is, you know, that with 100 stocks on the weekend or something like that, you'll probably pick the wrong one, you know. But,
sure.
But anyway, but it's interesting following the analysis. And after all of that, okay,
yes.
His targets are 25 and 35, so.
Okay, what's the difference between, you mean it's one as a target, then if it gets there, it might go to the second
exactly.
One?
If it takes out 25, wow. It might hit 35, you know.
I'll take him and you to dinner if it gets to 35.
There you go.
I'll
remember that.
Yeah, you know what my cost is on that?
What?
2 1/8.
Unbelievable.
But, I mean, this is over 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, right? I mean, hey, but still, from 2 to 23.
Right. Yeah, this was my...
I'll take 10 times my money over that period. No.
Tenfold. This is my niece's college education. She's 35 now. She's out of school. It paid for that in law school now, based on this, you know.
Unbelievable.
Right. Well, I visited the plant once, you know, and I might set up the... I'm going to try and make an appointment to meet with the new management down there and see what their thoughts are, you know.
Yeah, but don't forget, with all these companies, if something comes out that's a problem, you got a problem, you know.
Oh, sure, sure.
If they have a problem with one of their drugs, whatever,
yeah.
You know.
Well, they have one big one, and it's, I forget the number of it, and, you know, they've been submitting things on
it. Yeah, and like I say, if they come out and it's a failure, you know, as they say, doesn't meet the end point, you know.
Yes.
You know, then you got a problem, you know. So.
Oh, sure, sure. Well, I'd like to ride this a little further, you know.
Well, hopefully. I mean, it certainly looks good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, great talking to you.
Okay, good talking to you.
Best regards to David and Willard.
Okay.
Thank
I will
you
tell them.
Bye.
Have a
Bye.
Good weekend. Take
Bye.
Care. Okay, right now, phone lines are definitely wide open. 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And if you want to, if you don't want to give us a call, you can go to our website, saperston.com, saperston.com. Go to the Dollar Doctor tab. The drop-down comes down, says live streaming. Click on that. Go to the bottom, and there's a chat box there. You can type in a question or a symbol or symbols of stocks. And if you do put a stock in, let us know whether you own it. You know, you're looking to buy it, looking to sell it, and we can do an analysis on that. I do have one from... Tom, I guess, asking about Disney, and he says he owns the stock at 104, but it seems like dead money. What's your take? Disney is for the long-term person, a very good company, kind of a dead money stock. I would kind of agree with him. There's kind of some negative in Barron's this weekend on it, one of the things, obviously, they picked on was the latest Star Wars movies, not quite living up to expectations. They mentioned, a couple of other things, with the company right now. And we know, I'm pretty sure they're involved in trying to take over, part of Fox or whatever, and Comcast is involved in that. But, yeah, to me, it doesn't, long-term, like I say, it probably is a good place to be if you're long-term. Over the next several months, depending what happens, you don't know what the Fox thing, it could be dead money. I might agree with you right now. So you might look at other places, you always can come back to it, no question about it. Certainly if it starts acting better, something, catalyst changes, for the company, say, hey, I want to be back in Disney. So if you don't want to be a long-term holder and sit through a potential dead money period, then you might look someplace else. Okay, right now we'll go back to the phone lines, and we'll go back to Vic in Amherst. Good morning.
Morning. Peter, how you doing? It's funny, I was going to ask you about Disney, but I want to ask you, it's one of the few stocks that I have that are losing money.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like on the stock charts, it's right at support.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, it probably is dead money. And I was looking at a chart that goes back a few years, and it was up to, I think, 115 a few years ago.
Yeah, back in 2015, it was up to 122.
122. Okay,
yeah.
It was up that high. But I wanted to ask you a question. Bill O'Neill from Investors Daily has a 7% rule, and I wonder what you thought about that. I'm down about just under 6% in Disney, and I wonder what you thought about maintaining.
7% is dumb.
Discipline.
7% is dumb. Makes no sense at all. But it makes sense if you follow the way he buys stocks, right?
If
you follow his system, 7% goes with that system, all right?
Right.
Because theoretically, his system is to get you in at the correct point to buy, all right? And where, 7% worked out, okay? because they do such an analysis with the system. He uses different stock chart patterns. You've heard of the cup and handle and these different patterns he uses. If you use his system, then 7% is okay. Otherwise, if you use 7% with anything, forget it. You're dead.
Right.
Although, I mean, if I'm looking at Disney, it's been dead money for years, right?
Yeah. I was looking at it more. I bought it when the announcement came out regarding Fox because I figured, you know, this is an opportunity for them, and they've been talking about getting into live streaming. Mm-hmm. But, you know, every real positive that they've had, you know, like that Avengers movie, returned a tremendous amount of money. One of the top grossing films of all time, and the stock did nothing as a result of it, you know?
Yeah.
So it...
And it also depends, you know, how big did that affect the earnings, you know?
Yeah. Well, ESPN has done terribly
That's hurt. I mean, if I'm looking at Disney, you know, a shorter-term person might be out at say, 96.
Yeah.
And a longer-term person might be out at 86. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I'm close to cutting the cord. So,
yeah, I mean, like I say, don't forget the company because it could turn out to be a spectacular mover again at some point. You know,
At some point. Right.
Yeah.
There might be other opportunities.
Exactly. In the meantime, yeah.
Well, let me ask you about a couple others. Mm-hmm. One that I've done real well with, and I'm looking to buy more Salesforce.
Oh, well, not everybody, but there are a lot of big fans of that company. The interesting thing is that, you know, it closed where around 26 or so, some 25.85, it looks like, yeah. And, you know, it's a big cloud type play.
Right. When you said 25, it's closed at 130.
Oh, which wrong company. Yeah, hang on.
CRM.
Yeah.
It is the cloud company.
See, what I was thinking about, another one that everybody's high on is SailPoint, S-A-I-L.
Oh, okay.
Take a look at that one. But anyway.
I will.
Because that was a relatively new issue, you know. There was an article I just barely read. I don't know if Salesforce is affected by this or not, you know, but... They were talking about in Barron's how these companies account and that people buy it based on the fact that, you know, people will be re-upping for their subscriptions and this type of thing, you know. But anyway, I mean, the chart looks exceptionally good. I mean, it exceeded all price objectives. And, I mean, do you own it or are you looking to buy it?
Yeah, I do own it, and I'm looking to buy. When I look at the chart, it says it's met its bullish objective. It looks like it's very, very close to doing a double top shortly at 132 or 3. But I want to know at what point do you think it might be worth another buy?
Well, I mean, it just broke out again, you know, and what happened was that, you know, on the point and figure chart, it was a nice triangle pattern, which would buy at 126 when it broke out at 126, all right?
Right.
So, you know, if that pattern is valid, you know, and if you look at the triangle, you're talking about, 104, 128, 14, so even that's exceeded its target right now, you know. So you really... You know, can't come up with another great target on that, but having broken out at 126, you know, and then taking out the previous high around 128, you know, you would expect it to hold somewhere between 126 and 128.
All right. So, like a stop around the low 120s, you think might be good?
Well, let me take a look at another chart real quick. CRM. Okay. Yeah, I would say you know, if you were a shorter term player, you'd stop it below 124.5, right?
Right. Okay.
And you know, if you want to give it some leeway, you'd use the 50-day, you know, which is around 122. You know.
Right, but adding to my position at this point might be a little bit suspect or not?
Well, you got a couple of possibilities. I mean, it looks like a nice new base forming, all right? And it ran up to 132.55, right?
Right.
So you may want to see it take that out to buy it, you know?
Okay.
I mean, it could be a good buy here. I don't know. But definitely there were sellers at 132, and there was tremendous volume at that level, okay?
Right. Okay.
So I think you know, if you want to be a little safer, you probably want to see it take out that 132.55, you know.
Okay. Do you have time for one more?
Mm-hmm.
I was looking a while ago at IAC, Interactive.
Yeah, it's a great one, yeah.
And I was looking to buy it, but then I was looking at the components of what they own.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got into TripAdvisor, and that's done phenomenally well.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's got a really good objective of in the 70s. I just mm-hmm. want to know what you think about that.
No, I mean you're in it. I would stick with it. You know, no question about that. IAC, I think, as we talked with somebody, it was a better investment than Warren Buffett's company. You know,
I think I mentioned to you a while ago. Yeah. I mean, they and I also own Match.com.
Right, yeah.
You know, which got hit when
Facebook
came out in the news, and that's done very well, too, you know.
Yep.
Barry Diller's an amazing investment. Yeah, you know, just one other point. I read an article in Barron's. I know you like Barron's. A couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, about the top managers of various different stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me sometimes honing in on people that are leading, you know, that have been very successful in leading great companies mm-hmm. is a good strategy, you know,
yep.
to look at.
It could be a very good strategy, and you might try stockgurus.com or stockguru.com.
Okay.
They do that.
Good. I will look at that. All right. Thanks a lot,
okay.
Peter.
Take care. Thank you very much for calling. Okay. Go very quickly to Jim in Orchard Park. Good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. How are you today?
Okay.
Last week you talked about a stock. It is GERN.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked interesting. I've been following it since then. And it has gone down probably a buck or so. I don't remember. But it was at $479 at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody had called. I said, you know, that's a biotech speculation.
Yeah,
you know.
It was. And it depends upon Johnson & Johnson if they want to come in and help them or something. I'm not sure mm-hmm. what. What's it look like today?
Well, I mean, you know, it ran all the way up. Now it's pulled back. You know, the good news is the volume has been, you know, drifting off for it, you know.
Yeah.
So, and looking at it, I think it's right at its 50-day moving average, which is around $4.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, if I owned it, I'd probably be out of it if it went to... Of course, these things overnight could disappear on you, you know.
I mean,
I've been in them, believe me.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
I mean, I've lost 80% overnight, you know, playing these
things.
Is that
right? That quickly?
Oh, believe me.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong with their drug or there's disappointment,
mm-hmm.
80%, not surprising.
That's something, yeah.
Yep. So, but right now, I mean, if it was below 325, I'd be out of it, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
What about AYR? I did buy that.
Mm-hmm. I have to go real quick because we only have a minute or two.
Wait.
Yeah, AYR is holding up okay. It's at its 50-day.
Yeah.
And, well, not the 50-day. It's actually at a smaller. So I would say, you know, as long as this thing stays above about 20,
mm-hmm.
you'd be all right. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Peter.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Have a good weekend.
Bye-bye. You too. Bye.
Okay. We're coming down to the end of the show. If I can see, it's right about 10, almost 10:56. So we've got about 2 minutes left in the show. You know, appreciate the callers and those people who did use the chat box. We shall see what happens, you know, next week. We always say, you know, do your own research. Everybody uses different approaches to the market. And as long as you've found an approach that you can be consistent with and works for you, stick with that particular approach. You know, I know last week somebody was talking about, you know, Bill O'Neill, you know, and he doesn't use moving averages. Other people use moving averages. And like I say, they all have different approaches, how they approach the market. And nobody's approach is perfect. That's why you have to have a point where you recognize your plan, assuming you made a plan when you got into the stock, is not working. And you have to be out of it knowing that, you know, it's not working. But it's often said in the business that you just have to find the one thing that seems to work and stick with that and be very consistent using it. It's the same thing with indicators in the charts and that type of thing. The indicators by themselves, who knows, you know, but if you use certain indicators and you get to know the idiosyncrasies of the indicators and so forth, and you're consistent using them, and they tend to work for you, then that's what you do, you know. So some people use a 200-day, some use a 50-day. People use different moving averages. You have to find what works for you if you're looking into doing it that way. And if you're a fundamental person, you have to find an approach that helps you analyze things fundamentally, you know, or find some kind of site that lets you do the research and be able to do good fundamental analysis. But if you try to just follow the news or follow your instinct or whatever that is, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble. And a lot of times things move opposite the way when the news comes out, will move exactly opposite the way you think they're going to move. And a lot of times what you think is logical doesn't work that way. So you have to have, you know, an approach that you find that does work for you. And we always say, you know, develop a plan. And as we always say, keep a little powder dry, you know, going into, you know, the rest of the year, because there'll be opportunities all the time, and take advantage of those opportunities. Till next week, take care.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.